Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Whether you're out and about, you're headed to, I don't know, you could be going to camp, you could be going to work, you could be out and about, you could be going to Kennywood, who knows? Stop by Dunkin'. It's the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. Go grab a Dunkin'. Carl Joseph, he's a defensive back. He was talking about George Pickens. He said, man, he's good.
Good, man, and I think he doesn't even know it yet. Well, he might do as much as he talks, so.
He's one of those guys, not Joseph, but the man he's speaking about there, George Pickens, that has forced a lot of optimism. So Pickens is good. He makes some catches. Bang, there you go. The defense, people are talking about it like it's a steel curtain. Seven shots. Wow, a couple guys make some throws. Let's go. Najee put on good weight. It seems the common theme with the 2022 Pittsburgh Steelers is growing optimism, and I'm on board with that. When the season ended last year, the Kansas City game, you remember there was tons of snow on the ground here in western Pennsylvania, and it was a terrible night. Steelers get just dragged, especially in that second half. And you say, oh, gosh. And then immediately one of the things you think of is, oh, man, this is Ben's gone. Hall of Famer's out of here. Forget it. Tomlin could have a losing season. I heard all about that. Tomlin could have a losing season in 2022. Could be his first losing season. There was so much talk about how that could happen. I'm not hearing as much anymore. And you know what? I kind of agree. Do I think this is a team that's going to make a long playoff run? No. But the common theme for me has been this. As it's progressed from February to March to April to May to June through July through minicamp and all of that and now into camp, it may just be skewing your thoughts one win or maybe two wins or even kind of keeping it where it was with your prediction. But there's more positivity now. Nobody has watched camp and gone, that's a worse football team than I thought. It really, there's a much bigger air of positivity around them. And maybe it's just because, wow, there's nice, shiny football out there for me to watch, and they don't show the bad plays. They only show the good ones. There could be some of that, but it does feel like this team, I guess I'll put it this way, this team seems to be growing on a lot of people, even the pessimists.
And I think that has a lot to do with the transitioning of a lot of things. There's so many ways that, you know, you could dissect this that things have changed, and it's not a regression, it's a transition period. And at first it felt like, all right, Ben's gone. We've had him for almost 20 years, since 2004. He's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Now we have to figure out what we're doing at the toughest position in all of sports. So people had the pessimistic attitude, I think, right after the season, because there was going to be a lot of change, and Kevin Colbert was stepping down. Didn't know. The unknown is scary to people. But whenever that unknown and that light at the end of the tunnel starts to shine a little bit, you're like, oh, actually, you know, I'm getting closer to that light. That light's, you know, it might not be that far away to getting out of this tunnel. I feel like that's where we're at as Steelers fans, as getting closer to the light at the end of the tunnel.
And I do think there's a quotient. It's probably overly simplistic, but I do think a large part of it is at the beginning of the year with any team, you see the changes they've made in the offseason, right? In this case, they hire an experienced coach like Brian Flores. They bring in some free agent stopgaps at a couple of positions, maybe one that you trust, the corner, Levi Wallace, you're not sure. And you're watching everything through the prism of training camp, which is, hey, we're putting our guys in the best possible spot to sharpen and hone their skills and get better. And I think this is as good as you're going to feel before that preseason game. Now, again, they're playing Seattle, Jacksonville, and Detroit in the preseason, so hopefully the results against those kind of organizations follow that continue to help you feel good. But there will be warts that I think will be a lot easier to notice once the preseason games actually start.
I want to ask you guys a question. And I just thought of this. I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier. But do you think that the notion of people being more positive of the Steelers is because of social media? Because you see all the positive plays? Because you see all the positive clips? Because you have the access more than actually just having to drive up to training camp? You could sit on your phone. You could see all this positivity that's going on. Do you think that has changed the perception?
Yeah, also
a lot.
It has, and also this, because they control the message more than ever. Steelers.com does.
Right.
It's house organ stuff. The regular media, so to speak, the traditional media outlets, don't get to see a whole lot. They see less and less than they've ever seen as the years go by. So they do perpetuate and push out the mainly positive stuff. They're not going to report the bad stuff. You know, it's Al Jazeera. You know, and that's the way it's going to be.
And the bootleg videos you get from the stands, from fans, who then proliferate, I can't speak today, through social media, you see a lot of them there. Those are the George Pickens catches, right? Or some 40-yard bomb down the side, or a little throw out in the flat to Calvin Austin, and he takes off for 40 yards. It's not Mason Cole is a turnstile in pass protection. You know, that's not the stuff you're seeing out there. I think it's a little bit of everything. I think you brought up how low we felt after the playoff loss to Kansas City, Colin, and where we felt like the organization was headed. We're like, oh, man, what now? And then you bring up all the positives that you see during training camp, especially on social media, Dorn, and you end up circling back around to, all right, it's not as bad as we felt like it may have been back in mid to late January. Maybe it's not quite as great as, you know, we may end up seeing through a couple preseason games, but we're kind of right back where we started. It's just the sun's shining a little bit more now instead of the clouds creeping in.
I think that it's easy to see this offensive line, even though the reports haven't been glowing, and still think, okay, Mason Cole's got to be better than Kendrick Green. I think it's easy to say, you know what, right guard last year wasn't great. You bring in Daniels, you know what, I can see that being better. I think you can say the run defense was bad last year, and Ogunjobi, the reports after 2 days of practice, have been this guy's healthy and this guy looks good. And you can think, okay, they've at least addressed the holes on the roster, whether they got the right guys or not, who's to say at this point? But you can look at the roster last year on paper at the end of the season and the roster now and say, you know what, it is better. Now, what does that mean in a stacked AFC? We'll see. But I do think it's hard to argue that it's a worse roster than it was last year at this time.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, listen, I don't go from – and my original thought was – and by the way, you could text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan, text line, 412-928-9370. My original thought was 8-8-1. Is part of that shtick, maybe, because throw a tie in there. But they have tied like two times in their last 30 games.
Yeah.
They do get ties. But it was 8-8-1. I'm not jumping to 11 wins. Mm-hmm. But you could sell me on 9-8. The first six games are brutal. First six, eight games. You could sell me on 9-8. It's a stretch for me to get to 10-7. But like as this has played out and as part of it has transpired, I could add a win to all this. You know what the other part of it too is? Maybe part of it is that Ben, and it's not a dark cloud, it's just a presence. Maybe because Ben isn't hanging around anymore. And there's you don't know what the final part of that's going to be.
And there was a stagnation last year, let's be honest, because we all knew it was the final year of Ben, and this is probably it. And you kind of knew what to expect, and it wasn't necessarily, you weren't necessarily expecting the best. And this is when you turn the page, whether you know what you're going to get or not, you know that the next franchise quarterback is on the roster, at least you hope. You feel good about the buildup rather than where we were, like I said, back in January, which was the beginning of, if you want to call it that, a teardown of sorts.
I'll tell you what else changes things. I mean, even a little bit for me, but this team's going to be winning in the margins, and they're going to be an 8-win, 9-win team. I had them winning 9 games when the schedule release came out. If Deshaun Watson's not playing in both games, I expect the Steelers to win those games, especially the back end of the season at home. And that, to me, could even mean the difference between 9-8 and 10-7, which is the difference between sitting at home or making the playoffs.
With it. With it. I mean, I was right at 10-7 right whenever when the schedule came out, I thought 10-7. I just think that whoever is at the quarterback position, and obviously it's a three-way thing going on right now. We don't need to, exhaust that right now. Everybody knows the situation. I think that that is an upgrade this year. I truly feel like whoever is starting, even if it's Mason, I think that that's an upgrade from last year.
Here's the thing. In talking to a lot of people, whether it be my buddies, whether it be people that call on the show, whether looking at the text line, even with the uncertainty, and we just talked about it. You can check it out on the Odyssey Rewind feature. We talked about it at 8 o'clock to start the 8 o'clock show. Even with the uncertainty with the offensive line position and who's especially going to play on the interior of the offensive line and actually knowing what we know about the guys on the edges of the offensive line, all of that, even with that uncertainty, you talk to 100 people, I don't think after they've seen some of camp, and again, maybe it's just because the highs are highlighted, you don't run into a lot of people who say, now I feel a little worse about this team. Some people, and a lot of people maybe even, feel the same. But some people, or a lot of people, feel better. You don't get into a lot of people who, after camp started, say, now I don't feel as good as I thought I did. It's either absolutely the same or it's trending up. Optimism feels like the word of the day for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. Even those people that are glass half empty people, they say, you could twist my arm into thinking maybe they'll win one more than I originally thought.
Was Deontay Johnson going to be part of this?
That
to me is huge as well, because you knew that he was going to play for the team.
Was he going to be a malcontent?
Right. And was his sitting out of training camp, if he did the entire time, going to affect his rapport with whomever the day one starter is? Like, those things matter to me.
Yeah, I think they're right about, like, I maybe add a half win from all that we've seen throughout training camp to this point in the offseason. I do think it's interesting that if you took a survey of just Steelers fans, right?
Okay.
And said, hey, 7.5 wins is on the board in Vegas. You taking the over or under? I think most Steeler fans would take the over. I think if you went outside, quote unquote, Steeler Nation, I think most people would have a lot harder time taking the over. So I don't know if we're just looking at it through black and gold colored glasses, or maybe we're actually seeing something that people outside of Steelers Nation aren't seeing. But it definitely feels like there's a clear delineation there between people who go, oh, yeah, Steelers could be better than anybody thought. And those are Steeler fans. Okay, maybe that's just a natural bias. And those who say, wait, no, this is Tomlin's first losing season.
All right, finally, Let's get back into this. We've been accused of something by the PM team, stealing these Voke Energy pills. Here we are.
All right, so you've got Matt Cole, I guess, technically has to get put on the culprits list, but Matt Cole is like the purest soul here, so I'm taking him off now.
Matt Cole recites the Ten Commandments when he gets out of bed every morning.
And one of them is thou shalt not steal.
Yeah, he's not taking any Voke from us without asking
so
first.
So Dunlap, Crowley, Mac, Dickerson.
And Whaley was here today,
too. And Whaley.
I think Mac is most in need of core thinking, mental focus, and good
I agree. That
so
was
I think
I was
he read
think.
That and said, I've got to give this a whirl.
So there were Voke
Why
pills.
Am I most in need of clear mental focus?
Now, do these dissolve
focus?
In water, or do you just
no,
take
No, you
them?
Just chew them. Chew kind of like
Chewable
you would
pills.
Chew a Tums
Sorry, like a Flintstone
tablet. So are they the consistency of, like, sweet tarts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Is that a fair?
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, all right, Voke these. There were some laying around in packets here. In the
There's
studio.
A whole box filled with
packets. And I didn't take it because I'm a coffee addict. Everybody who's listening to the show knows that. Mm-hmm. I drink about a dozen cups of coffee a day. So, but Voke is, I met the owner of the place. Mm-hmm. Or he was here. He was passing them out. There were all around in packets. Pony apparently has some endorsement with them. Mm-hmm. Okay. He left them around. I saw them here. Yeah. I thought, and I did not take them, for the record, but I thought they were around so as to spread goodwill.
Community participation. If yes. You'd like some Voke, take some Voke. So guess what I did
because
on Thursday?
Because you want more people to take them.
Guess what I did on Thursday before I left? I took a couple packets from the box that was sitting here in the studio where everybody at the station works.
Why are they trying to find controversy? Shouldn't they be spreading it communally here?
They should be spreading
it. This isn't monkeypox. They want this to go around.
You want this to go around. You want people to try this. I took one packet, but now that I think, and I'm not trying to like justify anything, I think Pony may be thinking that somebody took the whole box. Like, where's the box at? Did he take the box
back? The box home.
Did he take the box back, you think?
He took it because he's offended that we took his Voke. And I took some Voke, too. I mean, who among us apart from Colin has
it? But you didn't. So you took it last.
Mm-hmm.
Did you finish the box? Or was there more packets?
There was more packets.
I think that somebody took the box.
Either way.
So what? Don't leave it in here.
It's a communal workspace.
Yeah, I agree. Man. I mean, I agree. I don't understand. I mean, Is the fan lounge Pony's lounge? Is it the Pony lounge? He has all those helmets back there.
That's the secondary issue. Pony treats this entire building like it's his game room, right? He's still got a bin, by the way, of memorabilia that he brought in last year sitting in front of a fire exit door in the back.
I met the guy named Andy. Andy was his name, right? Andy. I met him. He was the Voke guy. He shook my hand. He said, hey, how you doing? He had all these packets. And he was like, he wants that to be goodwill around here.
For sure.
Why? Yeah. See, here's the part. This is Pony being shiesty with his endorsement. He doesn't want anybody else being in on it.
Mm. Well, then don't leave it laying around.
He wants to cobble it all for himself. We can do a lot for Voke on the Fan Morning
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
A lot. That's what the problem is. This is Pony being ultra-territorial. I'm on to this.
Yep.
He's afraid that Chris Mack and Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson are going to sell more Voke tablets in the morning than he is in the afternoon.
I will gladly shout it from the rooftops. Friday, went to Chicago. I went over that ad nauseum already. But we had a great time Friday night in Chicago. We were up till all hours of the night. You know why? Because I took some Voke.
V-O-K-E, Voke. I know Pony has that hat on, and that's what it is. He's territorial. It's not the missing pills. Mm-mm. It's somebody's stepping on my feet here.
Right.
Somebody's trying to step in.
Yep.
And that's, that's crazy.
He's threatened by us.
This guy, Andy, loves this with Voke. We're doing exactly what Andrew should have been doing.
Exactly.
How many times did we say Voke today?
We're celebrating Voke.
Did I say thousand instead of thousand? I don't care.
It doesn't matter. You're Pittsburgher. It's okay.
But anyhow, they tried to make us out to be bad people yesterday on their show.
See,
and they do that all the time.
I don't like that. I don't like that they do that.
They did. And then.
I know. I heard it.
They
did.
They tried to make you out to be a thief.
I know. And then, I'm going to have a talk with them.
There's a real problem in this country making you out to be a thief.
I know.
You better step up here, Doran. This is your chance.
I'm about to take me about seven Vokes and go come in here at 2 p.m.
He's gonna take seven
packets of Vokes and be like, listen,
come
I
in
know.
Like the Kool-Aid man right through the door.
Listen,
come
in with the Mike. This is Mike the clearest I've thought forever. Come on, I got energy. Come on, Chris.
No, you were the stuff they were saying yesterday was out of line, Doran.
Out of line.
I'm just trying to rile you up.
You see me scratching my head, but you are a little bit mad about this.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did they pigeonhole you as a thief?
Yes, they did.
I don't like that.
And they pigeonholed me like I was like threatening them.
Well,
racism.
Here we go.
I didn't say that.
Here we go.
Let Adam do it. Let him be the hype man.
Just goodness. Kidding. Those guys are Voke. Okay, they would never.
They
well,
are.
Woke.
You think Zeiss saw that box at any point? Zeiss saw that box and went, whoa, what's this?
Where does Zeiss come down on all
woke
this?
Woke stuff.
Oh, man.
Where does Zeiss, you don't
it
know.
It helps me golf better. I'll get the Voke.
But anyhow, no, we didn't steal anything. No one took anything. They took it because they thought it was left for them because they thought it were their sample packs.
This is ridiculous.
So there's no thievery happening.
No.
Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. Lots happening here. Charlie Batch joins 9:30. Doran, tell us about something.
I'm here to talk about Underdog Fantasy. It's the quickest and easiest place to play fantasy football all season long. First of all working season. It's gone out the window. All you have to do is draft your team. No waivers, no trades, just draft. And best of all, no in-season management. I'm 3-0 in the last three nights on Underdog Fantasy. I took my winnings and put some money on the three-putt Thursday first round of the FedEx St. Jude Championship that's going on right now. I have a good feeling that I'm going to keep this streak alive, so you guys got to do that too. Underdog Fantasy is the fastest-growing fantasy app out there. Sign up today with promo code 937 and get your first deposit matched up to $100. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with the code 937 to get your first deposit matched. Download the app today to start your road to victory. Terms and conditions do apply. Underdog Fantasy, the fastest growing fantasy app in the world. Check it out.
All right, where are we? We've got delivered Vogue. How about this? Asking you shall receive a lot. I mean, a big case is from our
look
man Fred. Yes. Love it, love it, love
right
it.
Right there.
Charlie Batch in just a couple minutes. Crowley, how do you feel about this this latest development?
I feel like we win.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pony loses again.
Pony's going All right, Pony's going to New Orleans apparently for his anniversary. He got married there. He had a big wedding and everything. New Orleans. Good town, bad town.
Great town.
You think?
Yep. Love it.
I used to really like New Orleans. I think New Orleans is a great event town. Okay? Like, New Orleans and Indianapolis are good event towns for different reasons. Indianapolis built in a perfect square grid system.
Everything's close.
Easily navigable. New Orleans is a good kind of party town. But unless you want to, like, get drunk, and they do have good cuisine, really.
Yeah.
But unless you want to, like, drink every night, is New Orleans there for you?
I can't say. Because I've never been to New Orleans and not been plastered off my face. But the food is very
good.
It can you can enjoy New Orleans. You could be totally, completely sober and still enjoy New Orleans.
I think it's too much. Like, if I'm going to pick somewhere to go, I'm going to, between Vegas and New Orleans, I'm definitely going to Vegas.
We had this conversation once, I think.
Nashville? Would you go to Nashville?
Love Nashville, too.
I lived there. Oh, could you imagine that?
Oof. Man, that would be... That would be tough.
Scoring Doran.
Charlie Batch coming up in just a couple minutes here on the Fan Morning Show. But first, nobody wants a plumbing problem. I mean, nobody at all. But unfortunately, they happen, and they're bad. 24/7, 365, Armstrong Comfort Solutions and Matt Mertz Plumbing, there for you. Maybe you wake up, there's water all over the floor. Maybe your toilet's busted. Maybe there's just some leak you got to take care of. Armstrong Comfort Solutions and Matt Mertz Plumbing, they accept all forms of credit cards, offering financing to those who qualify. You call them today or book an appointment online, armstrongcomfort.com. All right, back to it. Fan Morning Show. Welcome in at this time. Charlie Batch joins us. So great to talk to him again. Charlie, did you get your walk in with the dogs yet today?
Not today. I'm up here actually at St. Vincent's, but I did get a nice walk around campus. I did about 4 miles this morning, so I feel pretty good.
There we go. We were talking about this off air, and I was talking to Doran about this, and Chris and Adam, all these guys. Do you and Bob understand, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you don't, maybe you do, the focus and the audience that's going to be there on Saturday night for this game, this is probably the most anticipated preseason game in like 20 years. And I'm not joking about that.
Well, I think a lot of people are, and especially if we talk about this post-Ben Roethlisberger era, a lot of people are unsure. You know, we're entering in uncharted waters, and nobody has not been in this situation for a long, long time. So everybody's eager to see kind of what this new era looks like, and I'm especially excited because I get to call the game on Saturday night with Bob.
Charlie, let's erase the NFL careers real quick. So take all three guys, Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky, and Kenny Pickett. Say all three of those guys are coming out of college this year. They're all going into the draft. Who in your mind has the most pedigree out of the three?
Well, I think if you just – I mean, are we counting the history as far as where they drafted prior to or to pure talent?
Pure talent.
I think you would probably have to go with Mr. Trubisky. I mean, only because, you know, the intangibles. I mean, he's really good with his feet and he good with his running ability. And I think the way the ball jumps off of his arm, if you looked at it just from that pure prospect, I think you probably would pick him out of those three, and I think ultimately that's what made him a top pick with the Bears. So it's really, you know, and again, a lot of it just depends on what you're looking at in that offense. But I think if you're looking at just pure talent, Mr. Trubisky stands out.
How much should we read into the allocation, the division of labor, as Mike Tomlin would put it, between the quarterbacks on Saturday night, Charlie?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, he has this press conference here. I don't know exactly what time it's happening now, but he'll talk about what that pecking order looks like. And he's been open about the competition. But as it relates to just splitting the reps up, if you watch it every day up here, there hasn't been the opportunity for Mason or Kenny Pickett to now get the opportunity to one with the run ones. So from that aspect, as far as what I'm seeing, I think Mr. Biskey will be the week one starter bearing injury at this point.
As a guy who was here for so long, Charlie, as a backup quarterback, knowing what the Steelers value in that position, do you think that they'd be comfortable going into the season if Mitch Trubisky's the one to have Kenny Pickett as the backup quarterback?
Yeah, I think it can, and a lot of that depends on his play during the preseason. Right now, Mason Rudolph has the advantage over all three quarterbacks because he's been in this system 1 year longer than everybody else. So when he's running the offense, it looks that way. But ultimately, when you're drafting Kenny Pickett as high as what you did in the first round, I think this is something that you have to give him that opportunity. But if you give him the opportunity, at what point do you spare the rest with Mason Rudolph? So it's going to be an interesting conversation as it relates to how these next couple weeks unfold. If Kenny shows what he's capable of doing and why he was the first round pick, then yeah, he'll get those opportunities. But it's really kind of hard because you don't have two-a-day practices anymore. And when you only have one practice, you essentially only have 60 reps that you're splitting among the three people. Half of those are runs, half of them are passes. So how does Mike Tomlin evaluate that particular situation if you're splitting up the reps in the manner that it is? So I'm going to be interested to see how it unfolds over the next 2 weeks.
Charlie Batch joining us here, Fan Morning Show. He'll be on the call Saturday night. You can watch the Steelers and Seattle. When do we take – I don't want to say take them seriously because that's wrong to put, but when do we start to watch George Pickens and go, okay, all right, this is applicable now to an NFL game. Now I should get really excited by the stuff that he's doing.
Well, I think you're going to see that in the first quarter of Saturday night. And the reason being, because he's been running with the one. Chase Claypool has missed a lot of time with an injury. Deontay Johnson missed some time as he was had his hold-in situation. Yes, he's back out there practicing, but Pickens is literally still running with the ones at this point. And the plays that he is making out here, wow. If he wasn't injured, I highly doubt that he's on the Steelers at this point last year. But the Steelers feel like they have a steal. He's showing up and producing in big ways, and it wouldn't surprise me if he make a play early in the game on Saturday, and everybody says, wow, where's this guy been? We need a guy like this. And if he can kind of continue take what he's done on the practice field and incorporate that into game days, man, it's going to be really exciting to watch this offense.
Charlie, what would you say? So put yourself back in your Steelers uniform. What would you say to somebody like George Pickens? And did you say anything to Antonio Brown whenever he was a rookie, whenever you were there? What would you say to offer him some encouragement or to help his progression as a young wide receiver? Would you say anything at all?
Yeah, I mean, they're in different situations. I mean, you have a second-round pick and Pickett, but when you look at where he's at and throwing in there because they're expecting him to play right away, which is vastly different than when Antonio Brown came here. You're talking about a sixth-round pick. You had Hines. You had Mike Wallace. They drafted Emmanuel Sanders in the third round, so they wasn't necessarily looking at Antonio Brown to come in as a day-one starter. So they're very different in those particular situations. So you're going to get more excited about George in this case than what you did with AB in his first season. So these are things that it's really hard to compare from that particular sense, but I think both of them will make splashes. But in George's case, man, this is a guy that if everybody's up here, and the reason why he's getting those headlines is because he's making those spectacular catches in practice on a daily basis.
Charlie Batch with us here on the Fan Morning Show. How much sense does it make to, I don't want to say run the wheels off of Najee Harris, but Najee said a few weeks ago, Charlie, he'd be comfortable with as many carries as they're willing to give him. Is this offense going to funnel primarily through Najee Harris or all of these other skill position weapons that we're talking about as we get ready for this season? Is it important that Mike Tomlin back off that instinct that I think he has to have a workhorse back sometimes and implore Matt Canada to spread the ball out some more?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's two different situations. You have one is the player, and of course the player wants to prove that he still belongs in this league, so of course he's going to accept the carries and what's on his workload. So, yeah, he's going to get those particular carries. So it's up to the coaching staff to kind of back off and say, hey, do we have someone that actually is worthy of spilling Najee in this particular case? And when you do, are you losing production? So that's going to be something that I look forward to, at least from the backup position. You know, can a Benny Snell, can a Jaylen Warren, who has really – showed out, can he step up to the equation? And, of course, what can Anthony McFarland do in that running back situation? So it's really going to be something to see and pay attention to as the preseason unfolds. But in Najee's case, right now, I don't expect to see him at all in the preseason. We know his foot gets stepped on. And for everybody out there who was worried about it, trust me, he is out here working on the side. So that injury is not something that we have to worry about heading into the season. But I do not think that we'll see Najee Harris in the preseason. I think we'll see him in week one.
Charlie, as the calendar flips to the regular season, how much does a third quarterback really get to play in terms of the reps he gets, in terms of the attention that he might get from a quarterback's coach if he's not the number one or number two guy?
Well, in this case, because your number three guy in this right now is Kenny Pickett, who is the number one pick. Oh, he gets a lot of attention. So if you're everybody else, you're kind of paying attention to say, okay, what is quarterback coach really saying to him as he's coaching him up? Yes, you may know the offense, but you want to know those intricate details that he may be discussing with Kenny in this case. You want to make sure that you're being coached up as well from a mental perspective. So it's typically a 13 quarterback doesn't get spoken to a lot during practice. But right now, it's a different situation only because of this draft position.
Charlie, last thing for you before we let you go. I keep hearing from everybody that's covering the team and from people inside the organization, Connor Hayward is getting absolutely undersold. He can do a lot of different things. He's that Swiss Army knife in a Matt Canada offense. He could come into the slot. You can put him out wide. He can come and put his hand down in the dirt and be a little bit of a fullback. Can that kind of guy really help you in an NFL offense? And do you think that they have plans for Connor Hayward?
I do think they have plans for him. And I think, he's very skilled. And you talked about the Army Swiss knife. I mean, he's showing up big in a passing game. The one thing that he's going to have to prove that he can now put his hand in the dirt and block a defensive lineman, block an outside linebacker on a consistent basis. He's doing a good job out here today. But, of course, you know who you're going against. You kind of game plan against your teammate. But can he take that into the stadiums? That's going to be the biggest question for him. And if he can do that, then, man, that can shake up the tight end room and ultimately shake up the fullback position, because he can now be productive in multi-positional situations. So that's something that he's going to have to prove. But, of course, he has that Hayward name on the backside. The one thing I would have liked to see during camp, and it hasn't happened up until this point, I wanted to see Cam line up across from Connor Hayward in a one-on-one drill. That has not happened yet. So hopefully that situation presents itself. But either way, to your point, Connor's going to get a lot of opportunity over the preseason, and he's going to prove his value on whether he could make the active roster. And I think worst-case scenario, he'll be on the practice squad this year.
All right, actually, one more quick question. If Charlie Batch walked out there cold and told all those young bucks to step aside on seven-shots drill, how many completions is Charlie Batch making?
Well, I can make two, and that would probably be to the flat. So I wouldn't try to push the ball down the field. So, if you're betting me the thing that I will go 0-for-7, trust me, I will complete two of those passes. But to be honest with you, I haven't thrown a ball in years, and that's something that I really haven't done. So I don't even have the muscle strength anymore to push the ball into tight windows. But I do take my skills to those youth football camps that we have over the summer, and I'm the steady quarterback for those 10 and 11-year-olds, man, I'm throwing for like 700 yards and 12 touchdowns throughout the course of a game. So, man, this arm still has a little bit left, just not at the professional level.
Mueldy Moore's always open right there in the flat. That's fine.
Need that feathery touch.
Yes.
Charlie, do you ever look at the picture of you hugging Ben Roethlisberger and get a little misty-eyed beating the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, yes, I do. I mean, and I get reminded of that. Of course, it's yearly. It doesn't happen anymore on a consistent basis. But, of course, every December, everybody talks about that particular game. And, of course, that is a memorable game for me because it was the last game that I'd ever started. And, of course, going in a tough environment and beating those Ravens on the road, man, it's a very tough situation to do. And to beat my last start and beat the eventual world champions that season, that was a pretty cool moment for me. But if people who know me, people know I'm an emotional guy, and this game meant so much to me. And, of course, when you look at that hug, it was genuine, and I just appreciate it in that moment, me talking to Ben and Ben talking to me, and I'm being able to share that emotions with 20 million people. And for anybody who thinks I'm not emotional, all I say to that point is 20 million people saw me cry. Has that ever happened to you?
There we go. Charlie, you're the best, absolute best. We'll talk to you throughout the year. As always, thank you, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday night on the broadcast. Thank you, Charlie.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Absolutely. Yep, nobody cooler than him. Nobody cooler. I mean, guy comes off the couch, win a week 15, 16 game, like it's nothing.
Man, I remember real quick, my uncle coached at Temple. He was a head coach. And, you know, there's always guys that you look up to. And I was about 6 or 7 years old, and we drove up to the Temple game. They were playing Eastern Michigan. I was Eastern Michigan. And my dad, the whole entire drive was like, Charlie Batch. He's from Pittsburgh. Charlie Batch. And I remember like thinking, I got to see this guy. He's from Pittsburgh. And he went out there and just torched Temple that game. And I'll never forget that. Like, that was the first moment where I was like, I want to be like that guy. Yeah. I want to be that Pittsburgh guy that everybody's talking about. So Charlie is the best. And I can't wait to hear him on Saturday.
Yeah. What a guy. All right. What was I going to say? Rooting for, rooting against. Epic ending coming up in just a couple minutes right here. Fan Morning Show. All right. So our man Fred stopped in the studio.
Fantastic.
One of Pittsburgh's finest. What, man, Crowley, you're dancing? Your day's just getting going.
Oh, I've got such mental clarity.
All that Vogue.
You're really angling for this endorsement, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Something.
I got a kid.
Yep.
Don't give it to your kid.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
No,
she's fine. She's three.
Money.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
All right, here we go. Why don't we hit our epic ending? Come on. All right, what did we learn today? Doran, what did you learn?
I learned that yet again, something that Pony said fired back. It backfired for him. It backfired big time because we're going to be the spokespeople of Vogue now that he accused a lot of us, not Colin, but everybody else in the room, of stealing his Vogue. Now we have our own set of Vogue, and it probably is going to progress from here on out and us having a nice little endorsement.
Taking Pony's Vogue was the best thing we've ever done.
Ever.
All right. What did you learn today?
I learned that nothing will lift your mood like walking back into that fan lounge that Pony also treats like his bedroom. He just leaves his crap laying everywhere. And finding the right television show on. We got a couple big screens back there. Doran must have been back there before me because he left VH1 on and an old episode of Martin was on. And I was reminded of those days in high school, Thursday nights on Fox, Martin, Living Single, and just went down that rabbit hole on Twitter with people this morning while we were doing the show. So, good way to start the day.
Fan Lounge brought to you by Shendorovich and Fishman. What do you have there? What did you learn?
Oh, I learned that Charlie Batch says that because Kenny Pickett is the third string quarterback, if he were to be this year, he will get special attention. And the Mason Rudolph thing that happened to poor old Mason ain't going to happen to Kenny. He's going to get plenty of attention.
All right, I learned that my new internet fascination on YouTube is, and I've gone, World Star was one of them. The new one is those boxing machines that they put in bars that how hard you can punch, sort of punching bag things. They're all the rage in the UK. I watch videos of these, and I spent like an hour last night watching these. Are they in bars here in the States? I don't go to a lot of bars.
Yeah, there's one in McFadden's downtown.
Oh, there is? Mm-hmm. You put money in, and it measures how hard you could punch. People get so into these things, and it's my new fascination watching these.
I love them.
You love those things?
Yeah, every bar I go to, if there's one there, I'm definitely trying to get the highest score.
I might go somewhere where they have one, buy a beer, and put $50 in the machine and just tell everybody, do this. I just want to watch you do this. I want to bet on you. I want to bet on who's going to win. Anyway, a prediction. Let's go. Doran?
Well, yesterday I picked the Titans in a parlay to cover tonight. And I was back in the fan lounge earlier after we did our prep before our show. And Greg Fidley came back and said the Ravens are 20-0 in their last preseason games. I had no clue that they haven't lost a preseason game in 20 games. So the Titans are getting +3.5. And I think that this is finally the time where the streak ends. I think the Titans cover, and I think the Titans win. So that is my prediction. The Titans win tonight over the Ravens. The Ravens streak is over.
Okay. Prediction, I'll be out at the Dick's Sporting Goods in Washington later today. Pony League World Series Fan Fest. The thing starts tomorrow night. A bunch of the games going to be on AT&T Sportsnet. All of them this year on MLB.com. The Fan Fest from 5 to 7:30. tonight. All 10 teams going to be there from as far and wide as London and Taiwan and San Jose, California, and as nearby as Washington and Johnstown. So my prediction, I will be out there. Fun will be had. I'll probably grab a cone of ice because I'm a sucker for frozen treats, and then I'll be happy I was there.
Crowley?
My prediction is at 11:30, we're going to see at least 6 good afternoon tweets with pictures of Mike Tomlin because it's on, baby. We're going to have Mike Tomlin reaction to his press conference inundating our timelines at 11:30. You won't be able to see anything else.
My prediction is this. Pittsburgh Today Live, they are having a segment right now on that aforementioned Pony League World Series. Heather Abraham is holding a baseball. David Highfield is holding a bat. My prediction is this. If they went out to a field anywhere and they played this role play all the way out, David Highfield would look like Pedro Siriaco and Heather Abraham would look like Nolan Ryan in this matchup. She would throw an absolute no-hitter against David Highfield. If Heather Abraham pitched 3 innings against Highfield, he may foul off 2 balls. Tops. Tops. She would dominate him.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you know? Was she an athlete?
He wasn't.
I think that's the point.
Yeah. I love Highfield. But I think that Heather Abraham, again, it would be Nolan Ryan v. Pedro Siriaco.
Will Craig,
yes. So anyway, it just amused me on Pittsburgh Today Live that she was holding a baseball. He was holding the bat. I think that Highfield's one of those guys that you could walk by as he's holding a bat and say, you don't want that one. That's a left-handed bat. And he'll go, oh, okay.
Put it back.
And put it back. I think you could get over that move on him. Oh, I love Highfield, but I don't. He just looks so unnatural with that bat in his hand. Anyway, hit the thing. Let's go. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. For a great deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle, great service too. You'll find it at Sun Chevrolet. Going to be about 80 today and partly cloudy.
That's the weather.
Yeah, and I'm here to talk about Salem's Marketing Grill. They don't sell bats, but they sell meats, and they have they truly have the best butcher shop. They have the best steaks, burgers, chicken, lamb, sausage, all the freshest meats. Hey, we're inching closer to crockpot season, and Salem's is the best place to purchase your grass-fed sausages. You could choose from hot Italian, maple, chorizo, bourbon steak sausage, apple chicken sausage. Follow me here. Go down to Salem's Market Saturday morning, grab a pack of sausages, throw them in a crock pot, let them cook for about 4 to 5 hours, and they should be tender and ready to go right before the Steelers kick off their first preseason game. That's exactly what I'm doing. Order online at salemsmarketgrill.com. You can even order on Uber Eats and have it all delivered right to your door. I did it. It was great. Thank you, Salem's. You rock.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.